He really, mashallah, him and his wife actually were Sister Fahreen from Edmonton. So they're a wonderful couple, inshallah. May Allah bless them. And their love and their respect for me, and I have the same for them, inshallah. Now, in and out, I don't, what's the topic? In and out? Are you in or out? Okay. It's the same thing about peer pressure. I was just going to do a topic on role models, but that'll take me at least an hour and a half to cover. And I can see that the crowd has become a little bit inundated with too much talk, and they're shifting. The seats are shifting, people are not paying attention, because you cannot take so much talk at one time, but just persevere, inshallah, and we'll continue. As I was stating before, that our identity, and that's the problem with us. Another one of our identity should be the love of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I think this is the main problem that the Muslims are facing. They're looking for something else, another guide, another example. They want to look at Nostradamus, Yehudi from 1501. He made some quatrains and he said, oh, Hitler will come, World War III will happen, and so on. So people are extremely, oh, Nostradamus, oh, he made this couplet because it was like this, and they're just watching this show. And most of his prediction, if you really look at it, you can go here or there. It's nothing fascinating. But if you look at the prediction of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's all come true. So why don't we look at that? So the main problem is our understanding of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you do not realize who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, how can you love somebody that you do not know? So if you know the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you do not know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then you will not have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We might fall because we are human beings, we might err, we might fall into sin, but the problem is to come back. Is to come back to the deen, is to come back and to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. By his attributes you will know him. By the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you will know huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum, that he is with you wherever you are, with his infinite wisdom, with his knowledge, with his sight, he will know where you are, and he can detect everything that you do 24/7. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "An ta'budallaha ka'annaka tara, fa in lam takun tara fa innahu yarak." That you worship Allah as though you see him, know that you do not see him, but know that he sees you. This is part of ihsan. So this is how we actually are supposed to know the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as to what he brought to the forefront of humanity. We have to defend the character of the Messenger of Allah. You know, I don't know whether I'm in a speaking competition with other people, but you know, one of the things, I'm good, and when I'm happy, I joke and put things, but you know, I'm undisciplined as a speaker, and as a brother, my great, very, very good, close brother, Brother Farooq is here, and Brother Mansoor, Brother Iftikhar and his family, and you know, they know me on my other side, so. Has everyone passed out the papers yet? Because you know, sometimes I think when we come here, better for me to say something 10 minutes. As I was taught, you know, a man talked for 1 hour and he said nothing. A man talked for 1 hour and said nothing. But somebody said in 2 sentences what he could have said for the whole day. So I'd rather be, you know, making an impact rather than having this thing. So, and I'm just as a guest, so I just want to be nice and friendly. Because I'm a nice guy. And you know, I speak from point forms, and it's in my head, so I usually, you see, I broke my train of thought, so I was just going to something else. How about I give you a joke? Where was I? Yes, the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but where, I will get it anyway. If you look at Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, you will see that on his deathbed, he said he wanted to go with this magnificent memory that he had. And you can see how much love he had for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, he pointed to the coffer, he said, "That's where my shroud is." It was something that was old and torn, threadbare gown. This is what he had. He wanted to wrap himself with that. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he said, I have met the mushrikeen at Badr wearing it, and I saved it for this day. Because at that time there were no munafiqeen, the faith was very strong, the love between the companion was very, very, very bonded, and it was something else. And this was his most magnificent memory, Badr. And he said, this is what I want to wear, because he remembered the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the companions that preceded him. So this is how we should have the love of the Messenger of Allah. This is how the youth should actually connect to their community through the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When that is disconnected, when that is cut off, then therefore you have no connection to the revelation, and then therefore you will be just trying to guide yourself just like anyone else, and you will just be going into walls. So I think we need to get back to love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our identity is to love the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So why this craziness from the youth? Why this craziness? Have you noticed funny hairstyles? What is with it? One shaved off here, one little thing hanging here, flat top like this, spikes. What is it? Are you a porcupine? What? Half an hour. Brother, how long did that take you? Half an hour to do that? I said, mashallah. You could have read at least one or two pages of the Quran, even if you don't know how to read, or read slowly, you could have finished that. So spikes standing out. I said, wow, how did you get that? Well, I put gel in it and I twisted it a little bit. I said, oh. I said, Yaki, you made yourself look ugly. So why this craziness? Because there is no connection to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you have the cool clothing. Have you seen the cool clothing? I've seen it. I've seen even in villages where, because of the effect of the TV, one pant up, one pant down. Then they try a bandana onto the knee. Or the pants are falling down to the ground and the guy's walking like this. So when my son, when he was just about a year old, when he would do something, he would walk like that. So I could figure out from behind that he has done something in his pants, so I can change him. But I don't know a big 17-year-old Hulk walking like that. So, do you want me to change you? there's no connection. When we talk, we curse. Oh, man, blah, 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 blah. Oh, man, blah, 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 because it's the rap culture. Yo, yo, my man. You want to know how tough I am. I can beat you with only one hand. Yo, yo, yo. I swear, there's one very nice brother, Khairul Amin. I really have a love for him. I don't know him well, but I feel a sense of great love for this brother. And what happened is that I was with my wife, and I saw one guy in the bus stand with the big, you know, the big. I mean, I don't, they were really big, and he was there going. So I asked one, I said, what is the, because he was really into it. And Baba, you know, you can see his mouth going, and he was into it. So I asked somebody, I said, what is this? He said, this is when you shoot somebody. I put two caps in you, man. So I grew up in a very rough neighborhood. Rap was there at that time, but it was not a crazy like that. So I didn't know what this signal meant. Like, you know. So I think what it is that the craziness is only taking place because there's no identification to identity as a Muslim. The cool walk. You know, you need a hip replacement. What is wrong with you, brother? Why are you having this cool walk? And you know, and shaking hands like this. Hey. I see some brothers doing it here. It's no problem in doing that. I'm not making anything difficult. All I'm saying, if you're going to shake hands like this. But what is this? You get up and say, sometimes I get... Yeah, I said, okay, brother. okay, I can dig it. You know, we had a shake hands, I think in the school one time it was like this, and then you go like this, then like this, then like this, then like this, and then you would bump the back together. I mean, all these things, complex. complex. So the Muslims, it's okay to say, hey, what's up? But at least say salam alaikum first. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that even if you're in travel and you meet together again, you will say salam alaikum. Now what is happening, our so-called learned people, they will not say salam alaikum. So how are we supposed to learn that? They will stand at the door and look at you straight face like this. Fasiq, come inside. You know, this is not proper adab. So you're supposed to give salam, you're supposed to be welcoming, you're supposed to be people who are bringing. So I think the craziness is from not understanding. The habits like smoking and spitting and you know, phew, phew, all the time, and chewing gum like, you know, as though you've gone out of style, like, you're not a cow, you don't need to regurgitate and keep chewing. It's no problem in chewing gum, just make sure it doesn't have pork. But you have to be very, very careful, especially the walk and the talk. You have to have some semblance. I mean, you can see some of the youth, I know exactly how they're living and what they're doing by just their hairstyle, or by just the way they wear the little goatee, or just a little thin strip here, or a little shave up here. Because you know what's being affecting their hearts. So they don't have any communication with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to know, they know all the stars. They know Snoop Doggy Dogg, Sean John, I don't know who else is there, Madonna. Now that on BBC I was reading that Madonna has a children's book out now. Alhamdulillah, this should be one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. So she's going to teach the children I don't know what. But actually, on a serious note, when we read further into that, it has to deal with the old magic in terms of Kabbalah. This is old, you know, it has to deal with satanic stuff, which is really not good. I wouldn't advise the Muslims to go and buy that and spend their money on rubbish. But really trying to look how we can get back to the deen. Imam Malik, he said, radiallahu anhu, he said, the later day Muslims can reform only by means of that which enabled the earlier Muslims to reform. This was his opinion. He said the later day Muslims can only reform by the means of what happened and how the earlier Muslims reformed. Because even if you are in spaceships, or even if you're going to live in Mars, or even if you have cell phones and you're high tech, you still have the problem of desire, you still have the problem of love, in terms of, it's not a problem, but I think excessiveness towards loving something that's totally material, then it becomes problematic. You still have the problems of avarice, greed. You have all these emotional things which is inside the human being, you still have that problem. So no matter how high-tech you become, you still have that problem. So it will not change from Karachi to Indonesia, it will still be the same problem. So we need to, the only way we're going to get back, as according to Imam Malik, is how the earlier generations, they reformed themselves. And they reformed themselves from tarbiyah and tazkiyah, that they disciplined themselves and then they purified themselves, according to the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very sick at the end of his life. And he came out, he said, oh people, I praise Allah, because there is no God other than He. And whose back I have whipped, here is my back, let him retaliate. And whose reputation I have stained, here is my reputation, so let him retaliate. And then that's how he went on. Look at the magnanimous nature of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. He's saying, whose back I have whipped, let them whip my back. Which corrupt dictator, ruler, sick person can ever say who I have killed, who I have tortured? He was clean. This is the message we need to give to the non-Muslim, that his character was clean. His inside life and his outside life was like an open book. No other figure in history has been scrutinized to that level. And this is why, because he's Khatim al-Nabiyin, that he's the last of the messengers. That's it. So, whose back I have whipped, here's my back. And whose reputation that I've stained, here's my reputation, go ahead. I mean, I don't want to go out and he's teaching the Ummah that don't do these things, and don't at the end of the day go out with people having this rancor and hatred towards you and you being a crooked person. So he's teaching that not to be like that with your people. That if you are in a power or position, that you are not like that. You are something else other than that. That you go out with a clean record. And the only way that you're going to be clean is to have this love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is what our fondness and our delight and we should hold dear to the Messenger of Allah. The hearts have to be changed. And if you're constantly bombarded with kufr, constant bombardment, that's what I call it. Constant bombardment, totally, every day in and day out, doom, 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 from everywhere. That's why I don't blame. Before I used to be very, why are we doing this, why are we not doing this? Now I don't say that anymore, because after seeing what's happening and what the youth are facing, what the brothers and sisters are facing, it's very difficult. But it's not something impossible that you cannot do, that you cannot change. So you're constantly bombarded with kufr 24/7, hearing these vulgar musical lyrics that will give you nothing, will give you nothing. If you really analyze any one of these songs, they're really stupid. Stupid. You know, they keep calling the Xbox, Z-box, I call it the S-box, the stupid box. Because you keep playing the same thumb is going, there's no exercise. If you want to exercise, you do some exercise, you walk, you train, you do different things. But it gives you nothing, no intelligence it gives you. It just makes you dumb. Because it takes away from other form of learning. And parents sometimes give their children that thinking that they're going to develop them that way. They cannot develop them that way. It's the radiation from the TV is no good physically. And secondly, they don't develop spiritually nor intellectually, because it doesn't give you any analytical thinking within these games. It teaches you how to kill people. That's why the 14-year-old and the 16-year-old were caught. They played this dumb game on this foolish machines, and they went and shot up people. One died and one was badly harmed, because they wanted to go out and reenact the game. And this is how it affects. It doesn't do it to everyone, but you don't know who's on a loose hinge. So it's not even good to have it in society, let alone Muslim parents buying them, oh, there's an Eid gift for you. Here you go, my son. Go and waste your life in front of the TV playing these games. And every game is like $80 and $100. It's becoming ridiculous. And we're having problems raising money for the centers and mosques and different things that we need so we can really bring the community together. We're having problems with that. Why is that? I think we should be more gracious with that. We should be having more understanding and doing the right things. You know, this is, I don't know when it's going to stop, but Allah Ta'ala alim, I think we need to take some steps in order to at least curtail some of the problems that are taking place there. Now, every chance you get out with your friends, you say, I'm just chilling. What does that mean, chilling? You take chicken out of the fridge and you say, it's just chilling. Because it's going to thaw for a while. You put hot water and you put it inside. And just chilling. So what are you chilling with? I'm killing some time, man. I'm just chilling. But when you need to pick up a book and really start thinking and opening that, you can't do it. Because you can't think any longer. Because TV takes away your perception of understanding. It doesn't give you any room to understand and cognitively think and try to imagine. Books give you that because you need to exercise your eyes to read something. You will be able to read and analyze. So nobody will be shoving thoughts in your brain. But the TV is just pre-programmed. Just media. You know, in the Russian era when they were very big and strong, and everyone who becomes pompous, they come down. They used some places never had running water, but they had a radio, newspaper, and TV. Because of propaganda. And this is exactly what's happening. Now they're saying in Kabul they have Eminem, this vulgar rap who curses and says all kinds of nonsensical things. Madonna is played very much so in there. This is just a society that was very conservative, and it was a people that were very friendly. They keep saying, oh, it's a hostile territory. Ask them 30 years ago, go read their books, what they say. When they used to go into Afghanistan, they used to feel that the sense of people had a sense of pride. They used to go to their masjid, they used to take care of their guests. If they knew he was an outsider, they would actually give him food, let him stay there, and walk him to where he needs to go. None of this nonsense, oh, they're militants and all this. This is something they're concocting in order to just get the land and to humiliate the people. So I think we need to come back and really love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to really understand. One of the scholars, he said, the most frequent cry of the people of hell is, woe to me. Woe to me, meaning we have done everything with our hands. We have let our own ship sink. So it is our problem. It is our identity crisis. Secondly, inshallah, how much time do I have, brother? 20 minutes? Okay. Secondly, we have to be pious people. Try to become pious sometimes. Try to make a pact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will pray so much rak'ah in so much time, that I will extra my prayers and do a little bit extra reading of the book of Allah, that I will do something to benefit the community, that I will say a kind word to somebody, that I will give some charity to somebody, that I will, whatever I'm endowed with, that I will help something. So we need to become pious, not self-conceited, bragging. And you know, the sisters have to be also very careful in that. Because I've heard from many sisters, not just here, everywhere, what they do is that they, when the new sister comes in, they get a cold shoulder. Sisters have a way of being snobbish also. The brothers also, they're a little bit uncouth. But the sisters are very methodical, and if they want to cut out somebody, they will just turn their back. Once one of the sisters said, I used to come to the halaqa, and the sisters used to turn their backs on me, and I didn't know anyone. And same thing was one Malaysian brother, he said the same thing. He said, I used to come, and the brothers used to turn their back. If you see somebody new, at least for Allah's sake, say, Salaam Alaikum, how are you? If somebody new comes to your organization, you will get to know them because you have to work with them. These are the same people that you have to get to know because they will be people that you can work with. There might be a resource that this brother or sister might be very intelligent, that you can get good Islamic work from them. Don't underestimate anyone. We usually see, well, what can you do, brother? What you good at? I'm good at this. Okay, Khalid in England, he's very good at sound. He's studying sound engineering. Put him, make things, get him on the cutting edge. Give him a job, give him a scholarship, go and study. Because you will be benefit to our community no matter where you go. We have to think in terms of an ummah. We're thinking in terms of our jama'ah, but we're not thinking in terms of the ummah, how we can help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to become pious. And when you become pious, you become like this. We have to become devout people, not just to our job. We become devout only to our jobs. Have you noticed that? 8 o'clock, yes sir, how are you? I'm here, okay, coffee. How are you, Betty? How are you, Jane? Blah, 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 blah. And you go and do this thing. But it's not too bad to do that. But at the same time, why don't you become devout to your Creator? This will be the ultimate for you, that you become devout to your Creator. So we have a problem with that. We study. I need to study. Study, 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 study. I have nothing. And that's a lie. You know why? Because I've studied also. So this thing that, oh, I have no time, I'm going home to study, that's nonsense. Because you'll sit there, ask yourself, because I know. You'll sit there in front of the computer 1.5 hours, 2 hours, without really doing anything, just surfing. Then you watch a couple of TV programs, you'll eat something. You will waste literally 4 or 5 hours that you could have been productive somewhere else. But telling just in the thing, oh, I have to go home because I have a lot of studies to do. This is not fair for your communities for you to be out like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people of taqwa, the people of bewaring, of people of consciousness, people who don't fall into traps, that people, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them, and He is with the people who are muhsinin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people of ihsan. And as I just stated, the hadith is from Ihsan, that you beautify. Your house outside should be the most cleanest. Your center should be the most posh looking. It should be clean, that it gives this sense. You should have air fresheners as soon as you come in. So if a non-Muslim comes in, smells good. You should have flower pots inside. You should really make things that, you know, some buildings become very ugly and architectural flaw, really. But the problem is that we should have beautiful things, so when they walk in, they say, wow, look at the Muslims, how clean and how beautiful they are. Everything should be spick and span. Your house outside should be the cleanest and the nicest looking. You know, if you have kids, I have to keep going, picking up their whatever they're throwing. But this is with small kids. But when they're 15 and 18 and 20, you cannot expect the same thing. You're not going to go and pick up after your toys. You have to pick up yourself. So we have to look at that, inshallah. We have to be, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-birru husnul khuluq. That birr, that righteousness, birr, righteousness is good characterness. وَالْإِثْمُ مَا حَاكَ فِي صَدْرِكَ. That the ithn is something that revolves around your chest and that you do not want other people to know. You see? So, birr is good characterness. Righteousness, good characterness. Be nice to people. There's nothing wrong in making somebody smile, alleviating their circumstance. Brother, what? You have a phone bill that you cannot... Go to the phone company and you know the brother is struggling. You don't have to even put your name. Just pay his phone bill for the next 6 months. We'll not take much from you. Go and pay his power bill. We'll not take much from you. And make sure you pay that. And just put a receipt for him that it is paid. Because sometimes if he doesn't know, he'll be paying. And you know these people are unscrupulous and they'll be taking money double time. So you just put that and just you don't have to put your name or anything. But if you know somebody close, he's like, let me help you. And you don't have to announce it to anyone. This is how you help your community. This is how you become pious. You do the things that other people don't do. You clean the bathrooms. You go around helping people. You see what happens when you do that. It really is contagious. You know they say disease is contagious. Kindness is also contagious. It really goes out. Because this person will realize somebody cares for me in my community. I'm struggling and they care for me. So this is how you become pious. So there is a hadith that states that the Messenger of Allah and Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he reported that from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam. He said, "Inna Allah yuhibbu al-'abd," that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the servant. At-taqi, the one who is conscious, the one who is bewaring of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alif lam mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. That this is a book where there is no doubt therein. And it is a guidance for the people of taqwa. Not they keep translating fear, fear, fear. Taqwa is not fear. It is only one of the components. It is Allah consciousness. It is hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is bewaring of the one who has created you. It is a deep word. It is not something that they just keep translating fear, fear. And then you know, what will you just keep fearing? It's not a negative relationship that you have with Allah. So this is a book where there is no doubt, and it is for the people of taqwa. For the people of taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the servant who is a taqi, the one who really tries to have taqwa, and you will fall sometimes. Wallahi, you will fall, and the shaitan, because of the good works you're doing, he will make you fall. He will make you fall, but the best thing to do is get up and keep going. Because you will feel so bad, that why did I do that? And try to do extra prayers, try to do something. And then he said, Al-Ghani, that Allah loves Al-Taqi, Al-Ghani, that the person who is a little open-handed, is somebody who's free of want, is somebody who is rich but is giving. So this has a very complex nature to that. And then he said, Al-Khafi. Ibn Hajar said, Al-Khafi means free of show off of or hypocrisy. Ibn Hajar has a story of his own, radiallahu anhu. Free of show off or hypocrisy. So you have to be taqi, al-ghani, al-khafi. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these traits in a servant. That you're a person who is endowed with richness and you're giving out, that you're a person endowed with the bewaring of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're a person endowed without hypocrisy, without show off. Look at me, what I have done. Look at me, how big I am. So, this is the sound hadith that you will be able to find. How much time I have, Akhi? 10 minutes? Okay. So let us, because there's other things that we need to discuss, but the last point that I will discuss is the TV. Is the TV. And this is something is problematic even for myself, because if I see a TV, I'll turn it on, because I'm susceptible to the same garbage that anyone else is. Oh, what's the news? So the shaitan will come and say, oh, you should see the news. And then half an hour will pass by, 1 hour will pass by, and I'm still seeing the news. And then we'll never, and then go on to something else, or discovery. And you know, somebody sitting at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's not discovering discovery, he's discovering something else. My son is watching Discovery, mashallah. I have 501 channel, brother. What do you want me to do with your 501 channel? Do you have time to watch 501 channels? Do you have time to watch that? Ding, 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 ding. I mean, I'm sure some of the brothers really have a very strong thumb. In Kung Fu, what they used to do, they used to have the two finger out. Like, you could really harm somebody with these two fingers. And you know, they call the iron palm. So, you can harm somebody with just your fingertips. And it's very, very strong. So, I think some of the brothers, they should have a new Kung Fu technique. Strong thumb. Come here. And the sisters too. I don't fight with my fist, I fight with the thumb, and I'll beat you with it. Because, you know, you use that so much. You know, you should really have, you should go into competition. They should not have arm wrestling, they should have thumb wrestling. I think in school we used to hold hands like this, you know, when you hold somebody and try to put their thumb down. You still do that? Huh? Okay. It's still not out. So what the TV does, inshallah, you pay $30. How much is it for cable now? I don't know. How much is it? Huh? 26? Oh, that's very, it's getting cheaper. Shaitan is making it more inviting, mashallah. Huh? The basic. Oh, what if you get the package? 45, mashallah. It was 60 actually 3 years ago. So he's really making it good. So you pay that, you say, oh, $45, thank you so very much. And you say, okay, that's at least a minimum of 450 sins that I will be getting during your minimum, because you know you will just, as soon as you sit there, boom, 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 you will get something. Wallahi, I'm telling you, I'm not out of a high platform that I'm saying, you will get something. If you do not sin, come to me, I'll clip my beard. It is a must that you do it. So if you're going to live with the cancer, make sure you live with it in a proper sense. You know, you try to avoid everything that is wrong. Cut out all these channels, block all of them. Make sure your kids, they don't know the keys to get in there. You really have to be careful. So what the TV does, you give this while your brothers and sisters literally suffering in lands. They do not have food to eat. I've visited some of those places, and some of those, even the fuqaha, they're sitting there, one person is teaching the book of Allah for 70 years. 70 years. He's like 80 something, and he needed an eye operation, but Allah gave him help. So we just raised that money within the Jum'ah, and we sent it to him, and he actually got his, I think it's a little bit less than 70 years, maybe around 60. I don't know exactly, but he's a very old person and has been teaching since he was young. And we and he's from Maghrib, he's in the Tarwal, he's a very, very nice sheikh, and he just teaches the book of Allah, and that's it. So these are the people that we can help with our money. We waste it on cigarettes and on these things, we don't need them. There's a corruption in our house, and we need to actually change that. So let me tell you what the TV really gives you. Number one, first and foremost, it teaches you how to be dishonest. It teaches you how to be a fib, a liar, because it's glamorous to lie. It teaches you how to thief. What is that movie called? Stealing a Car in 60 Seconds? What is it? Huh? Huh? Gone in 60 Seconds, mashallah. What a thing to learn. Gone in 60 Seconds. I have my little Toyota, I wouldn't want it to go anywhere in 60 seconds. I'm a poor man, what am I going to do after that? So, gone in 60 seconds. Theft, glamorize it. Wow, I sat in the car, I stole it, gone in 60 seconds, man. I was, oh wow, who's burning rubber, man, wow, do you see that? What did you get at the end? What's the moral of the story? Keep stealing because that's a good thing to do. It teaches you how to gamble. It teaches you that the easy way will get you places, and you know that that's not true. You know that it is not true, the easy way will get you no place. Because the shuyukh of the old, they said, the more longer the road, the more loftier the goal, the harder it is to get to. You want to be a muhsin, you have to work very hard, holding the tongue, suppressing the desire, make sure you're worshipping properly, doing the bare minimum at least, and then working on top of that. So it teaches you that easiness, will you will go to places, wow man, I just had a bank heist, I went to Hawaii and I'm sitting there and oh, all the beautiful women and so on and so forth. What nonsense. Why are we going to actually fall into that? Fifthly, it teaches you how to cheat on your spouse. Jane went out while John was with Mary because they met at a ball. And Mary was pleased with John. And then Jane was pleased with Henry. And Henry was the cousin of Mary. And this is what they will teach you, to how to break up your family. And you're saying, the bold and the beautiful, the days of our lives. It's all, you know, I don't want to sound like a fanatic, but you really cannot watch these shows. I've never given a fatwa, but I'm giving one now. You really cannot watch these shows. For Allah's sake, there's nothing benefit that will come out of these things except wrong things. It teaches you how to disrespect your parents. And that's very hurtful to your parents, how to disrespect. It's very easy to disrespect your parents, but it's a very good character to love and to be kind to your parents. And sometimes the parents are a bit rough. It also teaches you how to be a big adulterer, a zani, somebody who is fornicating all the time. That's the way of life, and that's what you should do it. And once you let that desire out, it's hard to couple that with any other thing, or hard to curtail, or hard to stop that thing. It also teaches you how to kill people, and by the Sharia, it's not allowed for you to be watching killing or torture. And it teaches you, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, now he's running for, I think, a race in California, is it? And, you know, I'll be back, he kills 500 people. And one of my friends, many, many years ago, he remarked, he said, he's like the side of a barn, you know, like this, and he never gets shot. And he's running slowly, and he never gets shot. Do you know why? Because it's all make-believe. I know some people's feelings are totally crushed. I'm sorry for that. It teaches you how to be a crook with money. And if you're a crook and you're a cheat, this is the epitome of being cool. Wow. It indoctrinates your brain to nonsense. Teaches the Muslims are evil, vile, base, despicable people. The guy is always, he's an out-of-looking guy. He comes with a shady little green beard. You know that green beard? He's probably from somewhere other than, he's not an Arab, but he's something else. And he has this shady beard, and all of a sudden, he said, we want to kill you. We want to do this. And he's sounding Indian, actually. Very problematic. We want to kill. And the people who do not understand the Arabic accent, they will say, we want to kill. So I think what it is that they teach the Muslim to be vile. That they're base people, that they have nothing to offer, that they're just killers. So they have all these movies and TV shows to teach you how bad you are. And then at the end of the day you say, oh, thank you very much, cable guy. And thank you for taking the proceeds to kill my brothers and sisters. But you know what? I'm going to keep doing it. We made a conscious decision in our house. I'm not saying you have to follow that. But if you do, alhamdulillah, no TV. Somebody saying, oh my goodness, I'm going to have drug withdrawal, like, I'm going to breathe hard when I go, I will fall down and cry and kick and so on and so forth, I will need oxygen and so on. What else will I do? I had a pact with the grade 8 students in Edmonton, and I think Sister Farin was there that time. And most of them, they kept their pact. I think it was for, I don't know if I forgot, it was many, 3 years or 4 years ago, was 7 days or 2 weeks that they had to stay away from TV. And most of them, they kept their pact because they wrote me the emails and I replied to them. And then most of them, when I talked to them, they said, yes, we went back. There was one Somali girl, she said, My father would say, sit with me. She said, no, I made a pact not to watch this nonsense. And she would just go into her room. She said, my studies became better. I became better. I prayed more. All the things that they said, I prayed more. I read more Quran. All the things, because I told them, tell me the benefits that you, I did more of this. I talked to my mother more. I talked to my father more. I had more time for homework. They had more time for every other thing. And that's not just that. It shows in the studies when you actually watch those things, that it takes away the time from your family. It just leaves you empty at the end of the day. And mothers and fathers, be very careful, because when your children, they grow up and they will leave you like that, it will be a very sad situation. Spend the time that you have with them right now and don't let go of them, because they're your precious item and they will pray for you when you die, inshallah. I think my time is up. There's other things that we need to deal with, but in the same time, if you are really have peer pressure, know that the pressure that you're getting because of your environment, you need to actually step out of that and say, well, I'm going to get positive pressure. So if you're getting too much pressure and you can't take it, you just need to step out. That's all. Change your company. Show me your friend and I will tell you who you are. Because one imitates the other. So you just step out. It's easy to say bye-bye. Your feeling might be hurt, but say, no, I can't do it. Because my relationship with my Creator is more worthy and more fruitful for me in this life and in the hereafter than to be a cool person with you, a cool girl or a cool guy. I can't do it. I just need to step out. So you make your peer pressure the other way around, that it is a good peer pressure, that you're forced, inshallah, in a good way to do good things. When they're going to prayer, you just have to walk along and pray, and inshallah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change you. So I leave you with that, inshallah. And first and foremost, I want to leave that, because you know, we're not working, I don't take a cent from the tapes and CDs that are out there, inshallah. But we're out there, we have a lot of da'wah work that needs to be done. We have to buy masahif, we have to buy clothing, we have to actually build some people's houses that have broken down. So we have a lot of work to do. If you can support us in any way, inshallah, just buy it. If you want to give something extra, that's up to you. But inshallah, Brother Mansoor, Brother Iftikhar will be out there. If you can just clean us out, that will be great, inshallah. Let some rich person amongst you just clean us out. Just buy it and just distribute it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has given you enough, rather than us keep lugging the things here and there. You can visit us at www.clearislam.com. You can write your critiques on there. You can tell your friends to, and it's very easy, Clear Islam, because Islam is clear.com. www.clearislam.com. It's not a business pitch. We're working and we're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we give free things to people. We shipped 1,000 CDs free of cost to Guyana to be just distributed to people because they couldn't afford it. So this is how you will help our da'wah, inshallah. And so, and also help the brothers who are out there selling stuff, because we need to support our community. I saw one brother who was selling shawarma. It was raining. I think rather than going somewhere else, we should go and buy from him. If they're selling some t-shirt that says Iman or Taqwa or whatever, Taqwa should be in your heart and Iman should be in your heart. But if they're selling that, wear that, because you're wearing Fat Farm and Grease Farm and Slow Farm and whatever, Dumb Farm. So help these brothers also, because this is how you make people happy, inshallah. And when you make people happy, you get the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you in turn will be happy. So may Allah give you tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah khairan, brother Sheikh Ziyadullah Khan, for the thought-provoking speech. Inshallah, we can all benefit from what he has said today. We have 10 minutes, around 7 minutes left for our program to end, and we're just going to take the 7 minutes to do some question and answers. So there's a first question here, and inshallah, he'll start with that.
Assalamu alaikum. I have a friend and she wears hijab, but she also recently got an eyebrow ring and I think she looks like a punk. I have two questions. Is it haram to get an eyebrow ring? How can I convince her to take it off? Please, people cannot see her eyebrow ring because it is covered with her hijab. So if it is covered with her hijab, alhamdulillah, so what? I mean, I personally don't like anything, even for my daughters. I've literally not let them pierce their rings. I said, listen, I told my wife, I said, one day are of age and they want to pierce their head, then let them do it. But I have control over them right now, and I will not put metal through their ears. Because even in Chinese medicine, in Kung Fu and all this, because you have your qi, and these lobes that you have here, once you puncture them, these are points of qi, and actually it's not good for your body when you puncture these holes. It's good to have it, you know, as a decoration piece. But myself, I'm a bit more of a simple guy. So I will not do that to my daughters. When they grow up, inshallah, they want to pierce their ears, let them pierce their ears. I don't know of anything, I don't know the answer to this question. I should just say I don't know. But I don't know whether it's haram or halal to put the eyebrow, the ring in the eye. But if she's not exposing it to anyone else, and she's only hurting herself, because these Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you pretty faces. Why put metal in it? And some people put it on their tongue and into their lip and into their belly button, and Allah ta'ala alam where else is going to be next. So it's not good. To convince her to take it off, let her be. Enjoy her company, show her that you have compassion and goodness. Take her to places like this, let her regain her taqwa. And if she wants to keep her eyebrow ring and she's saying her five daily salah and she's doing the right things, well, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, what you can do with that. This is a heavy topic. The person who actually asked about the Muslim girl who's committed zina is pregnant, if you want to ask me that question in private, inshallah, because it takes a little time to elaborate on that and the circumstances, we can do that. But you can see that there's major problems with our community, inshallah. You said children look up to their parents, and that parents should be good example for the children. But what if, though the parents tried and the kids still don't turn out right, whose fault is it? Well, you try your best in the beginning. You do all the right things. But the parents, they don't do the right things in the beginning. They want every dunya for them possible, but the hereafter is always on the last. They will send them for 5 minutes of recitation in the masjid. They think, oh my goodness, he's going to become a believer. No. You have to inculcate the love of Allah and His Messenger. You have to be fasting. You have to be showing them that these are not the right things. Your personal age and intellect, they cannot say, well, I am 45 and my father never took me to the masjid. That's not your father's fault now. You're 45, and that's what you have to actually now start praying and doing the right things. Recently I came to know that if young boys are part of the congregational prayers at home, their mom leads the prayer, boys have to stand in the front of the mom or of the woman, please come in. Yes. If the boy has no understanding, for example, they're little children, there is a riwayah that Aisha radiallahu anha, she led the prayer from the back, and then the small boys were in front, that she led it from the back itself. The woman should not stand in the front. It's just the way it is stated in the sunnah, that it is more applicable. And you know, they always say, oh, this is discrimination. This is discrimination that the woman has to stand in the back. Now they figured out that the woman is aroused by the touch. By the touch. But the man is aroused by the sight and the smell. The sight and the smell. Look at the sunnah, is exact. Because a woman should not wear perfume that goes out. Now they know scientifically that the man is aroused by the smell and the sight. You see? So when you're behind, and oh, mashallah, Fatima, what a ruku' she has. How are you going to concentrate on the prayer? Then they say, why you don't pray together? I said, yes. I will stand with Zainab, shoulder to shoulder. Bismillah ar-Rahman. You cannot do that. Because it doesn't make any sense. So we have to explain it in that we pray in a different way. We bow, we kneel, we throw our forehead to the ground. So you have to explain to the non-Muslim as to how we pray. You see? That we give the decency to the woman. That she is by the very nature of the woman, she is a bit shyer than the man. And it is known throughout history. It is known even till now. So when she comes in, she has her privacy. He's not saying she's shoved in the back. No, because we give her privacy. Because men are a bit more vulturous when they come in. All these brothers with cute little beards, don't trust them. I don't.
Last question. If someone, teenager, is going on the wrong path, what advice can you give them?
I think the whole lecture was that. Just tell them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, befriend them, give them a cassette, give them a video to watch, do something, call them to your house. How many people have called the youth to their houses? Can you raise your hand? One, two, three. No, call the youth to the houses. I'm talking about the older guys and the sisters. One sister.
This is a problem because you're not calling anyone else and then you're not making... Have a dinner for them. Invite them to your houses. Pray together. Have some communication. Don't do it once every year. Do it once a month. Allah has given you enough. Invite different people. Show them different things. And perchance with your example, they will get to like Islam and you will just be reaping the benefits, inshallah.
Well, Jazakumullahu khairan. I think I have talked a lot today. And I have to go to another talk right after that. And inshallah, I will come back here after 10 years. Actually, that honey was really, Brother Sayyid, Jazakumullahu khairan. It was really the best honey I've tasted. I've tasted all kinds. I think it was a lot of love in it, but it was really good. I looked at the end of it, it's from Peshawar, so it has to be good. Yeah.